The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Bullock. Vayar Bullock ben Sipor is kol asher oso Yisrael Emori. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel did to Emori. Balak was the king of Moab. Vayogor Moab mipneihom me'od kirav hu. And Balak, who was its king and the whole nation, became very much afraid of what was happening. Because here, Israel, the nation of Israel, was coming through the desert towards their land. And in the meantime, they annihilated two nations who stood in front of them and who wanted to war with them. So Moab became very concerned. And Moab went to the elders of Midian. This was another nation. Moab was a nation, one of the two nations that was born from the union between Lot and his daughters. And Midian was another nation. Midian actually was a descendant from Hagar. Vayomer Moab el ziknei Midian, Ato yelachachu hakol eskol svivoseinu kilchei hashor eisherek hasode. And Moab told the elders of Midian, this nation is coming and it's devastating all of its surroundings, like the bull devastates when it eats yerek hasode, the vegetation of the field. Uvalak ben Zippor melech lemaev beisahi. And Balak was the king of Moab. Now why did they go to Midian? So the sages tell us, Rashi brings, because they saw that in some supernatural way Israel were having tremendous successes. And they wanted to know how was this happening. The leader of Israel was Moshe. And Moshe grew up in Midian. Because Moshe escaped from Paray in Egypt and ran to Midian. So therefore they felt if they would go to the elders of Midian, perhaps he would tell them the secret. So the elders of Midian said, "Ein keche ele befiv." The whole power of the leader of Israel is in his mouth. What he says, this is what happens. And therefore they decided, we also will go to war against this man by someone who has power in his mouth. So therefore they decided to go to Bilam. Who was Bilam? Bilam was a prophet. He was a prophet of the nations of the world. So Vayishlach Malochim el Bilam ben Boor Peseira Asher ala Noah Eres ben Yame Likreiloi. Therefore they sent messengers to Bilam saying, a nation has come out of Egypt and they're covering the entire appearance of the land. And now perhaps if you can go and curse this nation for us so we can defeat this nation, because we know that whatever you curse is cursed, whatever you bless is blessed, and whatever you curse is cursed. How did Bilam become a prophet? So Rashi brings from the sages, why did Bilam, this Rosha, this evil man, become a prophet? In order that the nations of the world shouldn't come with a complaint one day by saying that the reason why you chose Israel and you gave them the Torah is because they had such great prophets. If we had great prophets, we would have been as good as them. So why did you choose Israel? So therefore, the Almighty gave prophets to the Goyei Ha'aretz, to the nations of the world also. And their greatest was Bilam. And he was supposed to be for their good. And instead of doing good, he broke down the walls of discipline which existed for so long, and he brought great disaster. At any rate, so the Torah now goes into the story that the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian went, and they went to Bilaam, and first Bilaam wanted to go, but he said he'll have to speak to the Almighty, and the Almighty said not to go. And again he wanted to go, so the Almighty says, if you want to go, go ahead. And then the angels tried to stop him, and still he went. And he tried to curse Klal Yisrael, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the curses into blessings. In the end, what eventually happened is we find that when he saw that his curses were failing, he said, I'll give you another answer. I'll give you other advice. The Almighty, the God of the world, hates idolatry, and he hates zima, he hates incest and adultery, promiscuity. If you can somehow get the children of Israel to commit adultery and to commit other acts of promiscuity, then you'll be able to defeat them. And that's when he gave the counsel to Midian and to Moab to send their daughters into the camps of Israel, tried to seduce them, and they came with little idols in order that they should bow to their idolatry. And because of this, it caused a great death in Klal Yisrael. This was eventually Bilaam himself was killed. So this is the story that the Torah tells us. We have a Mishnah in Masechta Ovis. The Mishnah states, the Mishnah is in Perek Hey, Mishnah Yutes. Kol mi sheyesh bei shleshet dvarim halolu hu mi talmidov shel Avraham Avinu. Whoever has the following three qualities, he can be considered a disciple from Avraham Avinu, from Abraham. U'shleshet dvarim acherim hu mi talmidov shel Bilaam HaRosho. And whoever has the opposite three qualities, then he is to be considered a disciple from Bilaam HaRosho, from Bilaam the Evil. What are the three qualities? Ein tova, a good eye, ruach nemucha, a humble spirit, the nefesh shefala. And nefesh shefala means someone who is satisfied with his lot. He does not covet, he does not constantly desire more things. Mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu. If a person possesses those three qualities, then he is to be considered from the disciples of Avraham. Ein ro, if he has an evil eye, ruach geveya, if he has an arrogant and haughty spirit, nefesh rechova, and if he has a never-quenching thirst and hunger to constantly acquire more physical possessions, that's mi talmidov shel Bilaam HaRosho. Then he is from the disciples of Bilaam. Ma ben talmidov shel Avraham Avinu le talmidov shel Bilaam HaRosho. What happens to the disciples of Avraham, and what will happen to the disciples of Bilaam? Talmidov shel Avraham Avinu eichlin be'olam hazeh ve'eichlin le'olam habo. The disciples of Avraham, they eat in this world and they inherit the next world. Shenemar, as it states, Lahanchil Oave Yesh Ve'etzreisehem Amale. As it states, that what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to his beloved? Lahanchil Oavai Yesh, to my beloved ones, I give them an inheritance of Yesh. Yesh means something of reality, something of substance. And Ve'etzreisehem Amale, and I will fill up their treasure houses. Avol talmidav shel Bilaam HaRosho, but to the disciples of Bilaam, Yorshin Gehenim, they will inherit Gehenim. Yodin lever shachas, and they will go down to an empty abyss. As it states, Va'ato alakim teiridaim lever shachas, you will bring them down to an empty abbess, Anshi Domim Umirma, these are people, bloodshed and deceit, Lo Yechetsu Yemehem, people who will not live out half of their years, Vani Eftach Boch, but I will trust in you. Actually, the sages state, it's a question in the sages, but according to one opinion, that Bilam lived, Bilam only lived to Tloshen Tloshnin, only to 33 years, which is less than a half of a man's lifetime, of the allotted 70 years, and that was because of his reward, his repayment. Now, we find that by Abraham, he had these three qualities. He had a good eye. Where do we find this? Firstly, he always wanted to do chesed. Abraham was the Amud HaChesed, the pillar of kindliness. And someone that wants to do kindliness to other people, this means he has a good eye. Because a good eye is someone who looks favorably at people. He sees good in them, and he wants to do good for them. So this is chesed. Abraham was always trying to do chesed. When the three angels came, Abraham brought them. He didn't know they were angels. He brought them into his house. He fed them. He gave them a resting place. He gave them to drink. Abraham was made an eshel on the roadsides. He used to build places where travelers could rest and refresh themselves. And we see by Abraham also that when the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, wanted to destroy Sodom and Amorah, Abraham was the one and went. And he tried to take their side and speak goodly of them. So this is a sign that he had an ayin tova, that he had a good eye. When he looked at people, he saw goodness in them, and he saw the good aspect of them, and he wanted to do good for them. Ayin tova. That's the first quality. Second quality, Ruach Nemucha. Abraham had a very humble spirit. Even though he was one of the greatest individuals who ever lived in the world, it states, Bishvil Avraham Nivra Eilam. One of the prime reasons that the Almighty created the world was because there was going to be a man like Avraham that would come and lay a foundation of goodness in the world. And had there not been such an individual, it would have been questionable if the Almighty would have created the world. So he was one of the greatest individuals that ever walked the face of the world. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, wanted to talk to him about the reward that he would receive, he said, V'anechi of Efer. Or when he came to speak to the Almighty, he said, I am no one that really can speak to you. I am Ofer Efer. I am but dust and ashes. So, in accordance to his stature, there could be no one with a more humble spirit. Nefesh Shefolah. And we find that Abraham had a nefesh Shefolah, that he was very, very satisfied with his lot. He did not pursue physical enjoyments or physical wealth that he felt was not his, that did not belong to him. One of the places we see this is during the war of the four kings and the five kings. And Avram helped the five kings. And he went and he defeated the four kings. And then Shem, who was the king of Jerusalem at that time, he came to Abraham and he said, by rights, everything belongs to you. You conquered these four nations, so all of the spoils belong to you. But he says, Tein li anefesh varachush kach loch. Give me back my people, the people that they had captured. Give me back those people, and you take all of the other spoils. And Abraham said, Misruch now. He says, no. He says, I want nothing. Not even a shulesh. I do not want. Only a rightful portion of the people that came to help me. But I want nothing. I want nothing from no other person. Now this was something which rightfully belonged to him, and according to the laws of Ofer. And still he refused to take it. So we see then certainly something that didn't belong to him he wasn't interested in. This is like the Torah tells us, that a person must not desire constantly more physical possessions or physical enjoyments, but be satisfied with his lot. And if he has that midah, that quality, that is what is known as an nefesh shefolo, a person who is satisfied with his lot. And this was Avraham. So we see that these three qualities Avraham possessed. On the other hand, Bilam. First Rashi, the sages tell us in the Medrash, Rashi brings it, that when it states in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayokum Bilam Babalker, Bilam got up in the morning, Vayemel Asorei Volok, and he said to the princes of Bolok, Lechu El Atzechem, go back to your land, Kimein Hashem Lesiti La'alech Imochem. The Almighty vetoed his request to go with them, but he didn't tell them that. He said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let me go Imochem with you. Elim Sorim Gedelim Mikem. He didn't say, he didn't come back to them and say, listen, I discussed it with the Almighty last night and Hashem said I should not go. No, he said HaKadosh Baruch Hu refuses to allow me to go with you. In other words, he inferred, he wanted to create this image that for certain if he wants to go the Almighty would endorse it, but he doesn't want me to go with people like you. But I must go with people who are of higher royalty. And therefore, immediately afterwards, it states, V'yosev el Bolok shalach sorim rabim v'nidbodim meile. Bolok then sent people who were of higher nobility. So here we see that he was a person of arrogance. So this is Ruach Gevaya. Then in a few psukim later, he said, "Vayan Bilam and Pasuk Yudches, Vayan Bilam Vayemer, El Avde Volak Imiten Li Volak Malay Beisay Kesev Azov, Lo Ucha Lavar Espi Hashem Lekoi." Finally, he had to tell them, even after, because Bolak sent higher nobility, and now he couldn't say that I cannot go with you. So he had to tell them the truth that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't allow me to. So he says, "Even if you'll give me a house full of gold and silver, still I cannot go. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow me to." So here the sages deduce, "L'manu shenafshe rechova u'mechabed momen acherim." We see from here that he had a very broad, demanding personality, and he wanted possessions that belonged to others, because this is what he told them, "Roi lai li tein li kol kesev zov shalai." Really, you should give me all of your wealth. "Sharei tzorech lis kol chayoy lis rabbeis," because otherwise you're going to have to go out and hire big armies. So you should give me all of your wealth. But what can I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't allow me to go. So from here we see that he had a nefesh rechova. He was a person who had great physical desires. And thirdly, later on, we see that when he came to curse the people, so he wanted to stand in a place where he could see them. Vayisa Bilam es Einov. And he lifted up his eye to them. This is in Posuk, Perichov Dalet Posuk Beis. And the sages say, Rashi brings, Bikesh Lahachnis Bem Ein Ro. He wanted to go and look at Israel, that perhaps he could see something wrong with them. And that'll give him a premise to curse them. He was trying to find something wrong with them. It's Ein Ro. And here Rashi says, "Hare yesh lecho gimel midesav." So we see that he had these three qualities: Ein Ro, an evil eye; Ruach Gevaya, an arrogant spirit; V'nefesh Rechova, and an all-demanding personality. Amurin Lamala. So, Bilam had the three qualities from the negative aspect, and Avraham had the three qualities from the positive aspect. Now, what do these sages mean with this comparison? And why do we compare Avraham to Bilam and Bilam to Avraham? And the answer to this is, the Maral writes in his commentary on Ovish, is Avraham was the foundation of Klal Yisrael. He was the cornerstone. He was the first pillar. So he was considered the head of the nation. Bilam also was a cornerstone for the nations of the world. And as we see, he was their greatest prophet. And he had, everyone is given Bechira, free choice, to perfect themselves to their greatest extent and to the greatest capabilities. So he had this potential. But he used these powers just to the opposite, while Avraham used his powers to develop the nation of Klal Yisrael. Now we find quite a few parallels between Avraham and between Bilam here in the Sefer Torah. For example, it states here that finally when he went in Pasuk Chof Gimel, in Pasuk Chof Aleph, it states Vayokum Bilam Babaker. Bilam got up in the morning, Vayachvesh Asaseinai, and he saddled his donkey, Vayelech Imsori Moav, and he went with the princes of Moab. And then it states, Behurechi Valaisena, he was riding his donkey, Ushnei Noravimai, and there were two lads with him. We find the same thing by Avraham. When Avraham went to sacrifice Yitzchok, it also states, at the end of Parshas Vayera, in Perichov Beis, it states, Pasuk Gimel, Vayashkem Avram Babaker, Avraham got up in the morning, Vayach Veshes Chamere, and he saddled his donkey, Vayikach Eshnei Norvitai, and he took two lads with him, together with Yitzchok, and they went to the Akedah. We find a little later that the Almighty said, don't curse this nation, or even before he said, don't curse this nation because they are Boruch, they are blessed. What do you mean they were blessed? They are blessed from Avraham. Your curses cannot have an effect on this nation because I have already given them the brochas from Avraham. Now, on both it states that they got up early. By Bilam it says Vayokom Bilam Babaker, he got up in the morning, and by Avraham it says Vayashkem Avraham Babaker, Avraham got up early in the morning. There was a reason why they both got up early. The sages tell us because of Zrizus, enthusiasm. Because of enthusiasm and love, but different aspects. By Avraham it says, Ava, we see from here that Ava mekalkeles es Ashura. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham to go and take his son, his only son, the son that you love, and sacrifice him. A difficult task, a person usually does very slowly and cumbersome. Still Avraham had so much love
for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the morning at the crack of dawn he was up and he was making preparations. It shows the great love HaKadosh Baruch Hu had. By Bilam it states, we see Asinu Mekalkeles Es HaShura. Hatred distorts logic. He could have gone a little later, but he had so much hatred, enthusiasm to destroy Israel, that he got up in the morning, early in the morning, and he was ready to go. Again, they both rode on a donkey, except one difference we find, that by Avraham it was a chamoire, which is a male donkey, and by Bilam it says asone, which is a female donkey. And they both took two lads with them. Avraham took two lads. The two lads that Avraham took, the sages tell us, were Eliezer and Ishmael. Ishmael his son and Eliezer his servant. In general, Odom Choshev, an important person, would always go out with two people. But here we find that Bilam also took two assistants with him. Shneino Orvimai. So both of these individuals were a foundation, and they were both given enormous, or they had enormous potential and enormous qualities. The question is, what were they, how were they going to use them? Now this donkey these donkeys were special. How do we see that? This is not just a story. Yes, it's true, they had to take a donkey, they had to have some means of transport, but these donkeys were special. How do we see that? First of all, we see that Bilam's donkey, when the angel stood in front of him and he didn't want to go, and Bilam started to beat him, so it says, Vayiftach pi, his mouth opened and he started to speak. So we see that he was a special donkey. Not every donkey can speak. Not only not every donkey can speak, but no donkeys can speak. And this was a very great miracle. And in Masechta Ovis, in Perikei, Mishnah Vov, in Perikei Mishnah Vov, there's a whole list of extraordinary phenomenon which the Almighty created just before the creation of the world. Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes. At the end of the 6 days, just as Shabbos was coming in. And it lists there, Asore Dvorim Nivru B'Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes. 10 phenomena were created Erev Shabbos, at the end of the 6 days of creation, just as Shabbos was coming in. And of those 10 things, one is the Pi Osen. The mouth of this donkey, that he was given this extraordinary capability to speak at this moment, this was created then. So we see this donkey was not a simple donkey. By Avram also, it's not. How do we know that? In Parshas Shmos, Perek Daled, Posuk Chof. Parshas Shmos, Perek Daled, Posuk Chof. Moshe had run away from Paray. He fled to Midian. And then he saw the burning bush. And he went to see what it was, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that you must go back to Egypt and speak to Paray and take my people out. So it states, Vayikach Meshes Ishtei Vezbonov, Mesha took his wife and his children by Yarkiveim Alachamor, and he put them on the donkey, by Yoshev Atzamitzroim, and he went back to Egypt. Now it doesn't say Vayarkivim al Hamor, he put them on a donkey. It says Vayarkivim al Hachamor, he put them on the donkey, not a donkey. Hey Ayudia. Which means we're speaking about a special donkey. So Rashi brings from the sages, Hamor Hamayuchad, a special donkey. This is the same donkey that Avraham used and saddled when he went to sacrifice Yitzchok. And this is the donkey that the Melech HaMashiach, the Mashiach, will be riding when he comes to redeem us. As it states, that's what it means, and he rode in the donkey, not a donkey. So we see that the donkey that Avraham saddled was a special donkey that Moshe would ride when he would go back to Egypt, and the Melech HaMashiach would ride. So therefore, when the Torah tells us about that they saddled a donkey and they took two lads with them, it means more than just to tell us Sipor Hadvorim, just the story, but it's coming to teach us something also. We find also by the names. Avraham, what does that name mean? So the sages tell us. The name Avraham comes from the word Av. Av is a father. Originally he was known as Av Rom. Rom means high and lofty. See? Or many. He was a high, lofty father. Later on, his name was added to a hey, Avraham, where he would be Av Hamein Goyim. He would be a father of a multitude of nations. Now, Av, the word Av, means building. Because a father builds, a father creates. Fact is, the word Ben comes from the word Binyan, to build. Ben is a son. So Avraham was the essence of building. He built a world. He was the first pillar that the world was to stand on. This was Avraham. So he was a builder of worlds. The Gemara in Sanhedrin of Kufay. The Gemara says, what does the word Bila mean? Bila means bola am. Bola means to swallow up a nation. See, to swallow up a nation. So Bilam was just the opposite. Bilam was a person who destroyed nations. While Avraham was the one who was to father nations and build nations, Bilam was the one to destroy nations. Bola am, to swallow up nations. So we see from their names they were just contrary. Now, the explanation is as follows. Man was created both physically and spiritually. The Almighty created man. He created him ofer min adoma, earth from the dust from the earth, vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and he blew into his nostrils, a living soul. So man is a physical and spiritual creation. Therefore he was given a physical body, but he was given a soul. The physical body of man and all of the physical forces of man have to play a role in the entire entity of man merely as something that you ride on. It carries the soul of the person. Just like if a person rides on a donkey, he's not a donkey, and he doesn't become a donkey, but the donkey is merely carrying him in order that he could fulfill his task. So is it with the soul that the Almighty gave into the physical body, that the body must play a role where it's nase, it carries the soul. And through this, the soul can fulfill, or the person in his entirety can fulfill his task and his potential. But that's if it's utilized properly. That's if he will master the donkey. What happens if a person rides a donkey and the donkey becomes the master? Well, we know this is a distortion. This is a distortion of the creation of the world. Animals were not created to master human beings, but human beings were created to be the masters over animals. But this is not only human beings and animals. This is with the physical and the spiritual. The physical was not created to master the spirit, but rather to serve the spirit, to carry the spirit. The spirit was created to master the physical, to utilize the physical. Just like a man with his donkey. So therefore, if a person is ruled by the physical force in himself, then he would be a similar situation where the donkey would be his master. We find by Avraham that Avraham Yayashkim Avraham Baboker, Avraham got up in the morning. And he saddled his donkey by a vaka atzia ola, and he cut the wood. Why did he do all of this? He did all of this to sacrifice his son Yitzchok. Why did he do this? Because the Almighty commanded it. Now, there was nothing more contrary to the nature of man than this command. Fact is, it states that Esser and Ishenis, with 10 challenges, 10 trials and tribulations Avraham was tested with, and this was the greatest. Of all of the tribulations that Avraham was tested with, this was the greatest. So there could be nothing more contrary to the nature of man than this command. And especially the nature of Avraham. Avraham was the one who brought compassion to the world. He brought kindliness to the world. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised him that from him would come out a nation which would be a light into the world. And now he was commanded to destroy his own son. So there could be nothing more contrary than to the nature of man. Yet still, Avraham got up early in the morning. The Gemara brings at sunrise, in order to fulfill the command of the Almighty with an overwhelming love. Such an overwhelming love that it says, Mekalkeles es Ashura. It already distorted logic. What does this show? That the love that Avraham had for the Almighty elevated itself far above the physical forces of man. Physical forces of man dictates that he shouldn't have done it. He should have said, no, I'm not doing it. I can't do it. Can't do it. Finished. physical forces of man dictates that even if he did it, he should have stalled for time. He should have said, I'll think about it. Or he should have said, next week or next month. But still, the spiritual forces in Avraham dictated to him that first thing the next morning he was up at sunrise making preparations for the trip. Now when it states that Avraham sat, it states another thing. It says Avraham saddled his donkey. Okay. Why did he have to saddle his donkey? Avraham was a king. He was a nobleman. He had plenty of servants. The exuberance to fulfill the word of Hashem again distorted logic to the point where he himself went and saddled the donkey. Then as he went, and they went towards the Har Moriah, to the mountain of Hashem, once he saw the Har Moriah in the distance, so there the Torah tells us, he said to the two lads, Shfu lechem pei ima chamor, v'ani v'anar eicho adkei, nelech adkei. He says, the two lads should stay here with the donkey, and I and Yitzchok, Isaac, we will go up to the mountain. Why did he say for them to stay? Why couldn't they come with him also? Because Abraham understood that at that point that he was going to sacrifice Yitzchok, this was the highest point possible in serving the Almighty. And this was a point that was not befitting for the donkey and not befitting for the two lads. For Eliezer, who was a slave, and Yishmael, who was the son that he had from Hagar, from the Egyptian princess. They were not fit to go on top of that mountain to do what he was doing. Only he and Yitzchok. So he said, you stay together with the donkey and I will go up there. Now if we go into this a little deeper, what do we see? We see that firstly, who was leading the show, Avraham or the donkey? Right? When it comes to physical forces, the spiritual forces, physical forces dictate that Avraham shouldn't have gone at all. That's physical nature of man. But the spiritual nature of Avraham totally devastated the physical nature, and immediately he got ready the next morning, he saddled the donkey himself, and he was on his way. So we see that Avraham was in total command of the situation. The donkey was merely an instrument which was helping him fulfill what the Spirit dictated. And Avraham's makeup was that he was doing what the Spirit dictated, not what the physical elements of Avraham dictated. When he came near the mountain, he saw that now he has to even elevate himself higher from the donkey and from the two lads. So he says, you stay here and we will go ourselves. Say, we will go ourselves. Because he was elevating himself even further. And then he said, afterwards, we will return. In other words, there comes a time when a person must reach such heights that he momentarily has to rise up and separate himself totally from physical forces. But that's only momentarily. Because on that, Avraham said, it says, Vayisa Avraham es Einov, Vayares Amok Merochek. Once he lifted his eyes and he saw the place of Hashem there, so he said, Shfu lechem pei machamor, you two stay here with the donkey, v'ani v'ana ne'elchad kei, and I and Yitzchok will go up there, v'nishtachave, and we will bow to Hashem, v'noshuva aleichem, and then we will come back to you. So in a deeper sense, this means that there was a time when he would have to depart totally, but just momentarily, and then we will come back. So this is what is meant by Abraham and by his donkey and how he saddled it and the two people that came with him. They were merely servants to Abraham, just as the body is a servant to the spirit, in order that he could fulfill that great task. Now let's see by Bilam. Bilam was commanded or Bilam, spirit dictates that Bilam should not have gone. Moab came and he said, this nation, we want to destroy. Come and help us destroy them. Bilam knew who Klal Yisrael were. Everyone knew what happened, that Israel went out of Egypt and that the Torah was given to them. The splitting of the sea, everyone knew that. So what did Bilam want to go and destroy them for? They were becoming a light unto the world, and Bilam should go destroy them. So spirit dictates that he should not have gone at all. Going to go. Why? He wanted to go because of the evil in him, because of his physical nature. His physical nature was for the evil and for destruction. And this is why he wanted to go. And even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, tried to stop him and first told him not to go, and still he insisted on going. And even after he was going, he sent an angel with a sword to stop him, and the donkey's mouth opened up and spoke to him, and still he insisted on going. And every time he came and he wanted to, instead of blessing the people, he cursed them. The Almighty had to change the curses into blessings. So by Bilam we see a total contrary. They're not where his spirit was the master at all, but his physical nature was the master. And his physical desire for evil was the master. He got up early in the morning. What did he get up early in the morning for? Hasina mekalkeles es hashura. Because hatred, his personal hatred of anything that was good, and Klal Yisrael and his jealousy, his hatred, drove him to it and distorted the spirit totally. He saddled the donkey himself, even though he was such a noble person. And this, another illustration. So we see a great difference. Is that Abraham, when he rode on his donkey, the illustration was he was elevated from his donkey. The donkey merely acted as a physical force to help Abraham fulfill his perfection. But Bilam, who rode on his donkey, he became part of the donkey. The donkey was leading, not he was leading. It was his physical drive that was leading, not him. Just the contrary. And actually, the Gemara brings, modern Sanhedrin says even further. It says that Bilam was guilty of committing sexual acts with his donkey. And from here we can understand why the donkey then is a female. In other words, he sunk so low to the point where instead of he riding and mastering the donkey, he became part of him. And this is all part of this illustration. Now, the physical matter in this world is never complete. It's always lacking when it's looked at as its own entity. Because there is no perfection in physical matter alone. Only if it's together with a synthesis of the spirit can you find completion, can you find shlemus. by Bilam, since he was always motivated by the physical part of man, therefore we would see such negative qualities. You would see an ayin ra. He had an evil eye. An evil eye is someone that always sees bad in other people. Actually, one of the causes for seeing bad in other people are people who are lacking in themselves. For example, Rashi brings when Paro had a dream in the time of Yosef, and everything he said, all the crops and the cattle all looked lean and it looked sickly. So Rashi says that in time when people don't have enough, they all have an ayin roh towards their friends. When someone doesn't have enough himself, he's always trying to find something wrong with someone else. He has an ayin roh. When people have plenty, then they have a good eye for others. Because of this, he was so overwhelmed and motivated by the physical side of man, and the physical side of man is forever and never, for always lacking. Therefore he had an ayin ra, he had an evil eye towards people. The same thing, he was arrogant. Arrogance also comes from people who are lacking. Now, not necessarily lacking that they don't have enough, but it comes from people who are imperfect. Arrogance. We've spoken in the past that arrogance is people who are not big enough to identify with others. And arrogance is a limitation where you can't identify with others. It states by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, even though he is the king of all of the kings and he lives in the highest abodes of heaven, but he still takes care of the orphan and the widow. In other words, he is so perfect, he is so sholem, he encompasses everyone. And arrogance is a limitation where someone is so limited he cannot identify with certain segments of the population. So it's also because he's small and he's lacking. Therefore we see he was of an arrogant nature. And Nefesh Rechova, he constantly wanted more. This is the nature of the physical aspect of man. The physical aspect of man, you can never quench his thirst. He always wants more. He always wants more. Yesh le'mona reitz mosayim. The Gemara says if you give him so much money, if he has so much money, then he wants more. When he gets more, he wants more. This is the nature of physical man. So physical man is isolated from spiritual man. This is what you're going to get. Avraham, who was the synthesis of the physical and spiritual, there he could find perfection. He was full. Therefore he had an ayin tov, he had a good eye. He saw good in other people. Only saw good. He was humble. He could identify with the whole world. And he didn't want more. He had enough. He had plenty. He did not seek what was not his. To go into the one step further, we've always explained that we could divide the human being into three parts. He has the guf, the physical body. He has the nefesh, which is the life force that's in him. And he has the intellect and the spirit. Now the Avraham perfected his entirety. The body constantly desires physical elements. The body wants to eat and the body wants to drink. And the body pursues physical enjoyment, the body wants physical acquisitions. Avraham perfected himself totally. And therefore he was nefesh follow. He wanted no more. What was his, what came to him, good, otherwise he didn't run after it. This was sufficient. Balaam, who was an imperfection in this, constantly wanted more. The nefesh, which is the life in the body, and from here come all of the emotions, from the heart. For example, hatred, jealousy. From there comes your evil eye and your good eye. An evil eye, the Gemara tells us, comes from kina, from jealousy. See, that's one of the motivations of the evil eye. You're jealous, envy, the envious eye of someone else or what someone else possesses. Avraham, that perfected his nefesh, he had a good eye for everyone. And Bilam, that was imperfect in this facet, he had an evil eye. And then comes the seichel, the intellect. That's mevakesh hakovod. A quest for honor. This is not a physical desire, this is not an emotional desire. Quest for honor is an intellectual desire. Avraham, who perfected his intellect, his mind and his brain, his spirit, so he did not seek honor. He was humble. Bilam, who was imperfect in this facet, he wanted honor. He was arrogant. So therefore, these were the cornerstones and the pillars of Avraham of Israel and Bilam of the nations of the world. And Avraham was someone who came to the utmost perfection of the human being, to the point where his spirit utilized the physical powers of man to gain further spiritual goals. And Bilam was overcome by the physical powers of man to the point where it mastered and led the spirit. So Avraham was the one who would lead his donkey, and Bilam, the donkey, would lead him. And they both went in their directions accordingly. And Avraham's name was Avram. He was a father of the world. He built Av Hamein Goyim, a father of a multitude of nations. And Bilam was the destroyer of a world. Bola'am, he wanted to swallow up a nation. So that's what it tells us the Mishnah of Ovis. Kol mi sheyesh b'shleish dvarim halalu hu mitalmidim shel Avraham Avinu. Whoever has these three qualities, they are from the disciples of Avraham. Shleish dvarim acherim hu mitalmidim shel Bilam Arosho. The other three qualities are from the disciples of Bilam. Ein tover ruach nemucha nefesh shfolah. A good eye and a humble spirit. And a personality that does not constantly seek more physical desires and assets in the world. That's the disciples of Avraham. Ein ro ruach eveya nefesh rechova, an evil eye, an arrogant spirit, and a personality that constantly seeks and is always hungry for more, mitamidim shel Bilam Arosho. These are the disciples of Bilam Arosho. Ma bein tamidim shel Avraham Avinu tamidim shel Bilam Arosho? What will be the difference between the two? Tamidim shel Avraham Avinu eichlin beilam hazeh and eichlin eilam habo. Now this is interesting. Disciples of Avraham will have both worlds. They'll eat in this world and they'll inherit in the next world. Why? Because they're the perfect man. Man was not created to be an angel. That's why Avraham went together with the donkey and with his slave Eliezer and with Yishmael, who was the son of the Egyptian princess. He went together with them. Only when they came to the mountain, he said, now you must stay and I must go along with Yitzchok and we will bow to Hashem, but we will return to you. Man is not an angel. Cannot separate himself from the physical earth that he was made from. But he must be an entirety He's a total unit. If he is, then he'll have the physical world, this world, and he'll have the spiritual world, the next world. Shneamar lehanchelo ave ohava yesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I will give my beloved yesh. Yesh is something of substance, of reality. Beitzeseh mamale, and I will fill up the treasure houses. Aval tamidim shebilim arosha. But disciples of Bilam, they totally destroy the spirit, and they become lost in a physical world, and they become lost to their physical force, to their own physical, to their own physical forces and their own self. The physical world on its own is a world that's not complete, because it comes to an end. There is nothing totally complete here. It comes to an end. Something that comes to an end is not complete. It's not an entity. One day it won't be here. So there'll be Yosh in Gehenna. They will end up in Gehenna. What is Gehenna? Gehenna is a total void and an abyss. Yodi leber shachas, a nothingness. Because they enslave themselves to a physical world which in reality one day will be nothing. As it states, Vata lekim teirideim leber shachas, you will bring them into a pit of abyss. Anshi domim umirma, these are people of bloodshed and deceit. Deceit also is not reality, it's fictitious. People who pursue a physical world, this is something important for us to know because we live in Western culture. People who become entirely engrossed in a physical world are becoming engrossed in a fictitious life. A fictitious life. The media, Hollywood, Broadway, it's all one big story. You turn off the television set and it disappears. One day the world ends, it's finished. They become, today, you can't imagine how great to a degree that people's lives are fictitious. They are fictitious. There is no substance or lasting in it. Well, someone who uses the physical world to pursue higher spiritual endeavors, those last forever. And this lasts forever. You do so. You do a mitzvah, you do a good deed to someone, you give tzedakah, you do a chesed for someone, that lasts, the Torah says, that is something, eichlin peireisim be'ilam azeva, akirin keim s'leilam abo. You will eat from the fruits in this world and it'll last forever. See? So these will inherit an empty abyss, le'yechetzu yemehem. And even in this world, people think that, well, at least I want this world. Not interested in the next world, I want this world. But this world they won't have either. You want this world, then you have to interest yourself in the next world, you have both worlds. Le'yechetzu yemehem. They will die before half of their days. This is what happens with the disciples of Bilam. So this is what our sages teach us. The difference between Avraham and Bilam. And we should all be zeicher to constantly pursue during our lifetimes to become from the Talmid of Shel Avraham Avinu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.